Hi, this is Joe Francica, and welcome to another Directions Media podcast. Today I'll be interviewing Nick Padfield, the team leader for the Cartographic Products Branch of the Geography Division for the U.S. Census Bureau, as well as Stephanie Spalanger, a cartographer with the division. So, Nick, thanks very much for joining us today and for taking the time to answer some of our questions about what you guys do at the Census, in particular as we approach the responses for the decennial census.
Oh, you're welcome.
So let's start off with kind of a basic question. How many maps are produced by your division to support the decennial census?
Well, we're making around 18 million maps in total, and that's including the ones we'll make to accompany the tabulation of the Census 2010 results. And so far, we've created about 15 million of those maps.
That's a lot of maps.
That is a lot of maps.
Yeah. And maybe just go into brief detail, what are the typical cartographic products that you're producing currently, and maybe tell us a little bit about the mapping system that you're using to create those maps.
Mm-hmm. Right now, we're getting ready to produce maps that will accompany the 2010 census results, and these include maps for state governments to use in redistricting and a number of different general reference maps of the 2010 census areas. And on the heels of that, we will have some thematic maps that show the census results. And in the next few years, we'll be making maps of the new areas that have been drawn based on the 2010 census results. And that includes congressional districts and urbanized areas, among other things. And our batch mapping system was put together in-house, primarily using Oracle's spatial tools. And we have a component of that was created by MapText. We're using them as our labeling engine, and Adobe Distiller as well to create our PDFs. And the PL SQL and Perl programs automate the entire process. We also use ArcGIS and a number of other commercial software packages for the visualization of the database, prototyping, and non-batch mapping and things of that sort.
You mentioned that you're going to produce the maps for the states in particular. Are you on any kind of a time deadline to get those maps out to them?
Definitely. I mean, we've got internal deadlines and whatnot. I can't speak to a lot of that right now, but we've got internal deadlines to get various products out to the public.
So let me go on just to some of the preliminary work that you've done for the census. In what way did you support the preliminary planning of the decennial census effort, and what challenges did you uncover in your planning such that you maybe had to make changes to the database or just to get everything ready?
The MapTiger database is the geospatial infrastructure for census data collection activities. The housing unit data in the database is used to delineate data collection areas like local census offices and enumeration assignment areas. Maps created from MapTiger are used as tools for such activities as recruiting and geocoding applicants, planning assignments, navigating to assignments, tracking work, and collecting spatial updates.
And one of the issues I know with the enumerators from the 2000 census was that they had a hard time navigating areas and identifying the addresses to enumerate. How were you able to mitigate those problems this time around?
Okay. The main way we tried to address this issue was through the MapTiger Accuracy Improvement Program. We refer to that as MTAPE, during which we spatially corrected the locations of streets and other map features in the Tiger database. The improved spatial accuracy of base feature data allowed us to collect GPS coordinates for residential structures during the address canvassing operation. The initial plan was to use a handheld computerized map for the enumeration operations that would allow census takers to use GPS guidance systems to locate housing units. But we had some budget difficulties and logistical hurdles, and that prevented us from using handheld computers during subsequent operations. Housing unit locations collected during the address canvassing operation are reflected on the maps enumerators are using now. We also improved the enumerator map designs. For instance, in the cartographic database, we've chained similar roads together to create major road networks, which we can symbolize differently than things like local roads. We've done similar things with rivers, railroads, landmark data such as power lines and pipelines. to name a few. We also classify aerial water features into groups of important bodies of water and less important bodies of water, so that we have options regarding what to display on different types of maps. We also have an automated iterative scaling process, and that helped us to keep the number of sheets in each map to a minimum while providing enough space for the enumerators to make annotations. And we used improved label placement software along with integrated automatic QC to determine appropriate map scales and create insets where necessary. And of course, we also use local projections with all of our maps to make navigation easier.
So how did that work with the enumerators? Were they comfortable using those maps? Or my finding is that, you know, there's a lot of folks that just don't take well to using maps of any sorts. And I'm just curious as to, you know, whether it was a success in training them and whether there are any difficulties there.
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely a large training process that all the enumerators went through, but it always poses a big challenge because a lot of the enumerators are not cartographers, they're not map readers, they're just everyday folk. And so we have to make the maps very basic, and, you know, so that anyone can read the maps. And so there were some initial things. Some people were having problems with the way that we chained roads, for instance, at the beginning of some of our map types. So we went through and we changed the way that we chained roads, and we improved the process a lot, and we got a lot of positive feedback from that.
Now, when you say chain roads together, maybe just explain it. I'm not familiar even with that term. What is that?
Sure. Our database is pretty much optimized for the update of features. And so what we do in the cartographic database is we take individual roads, and sometimes, let's say, Main Street is partitioned up into four or five, six different records, depending on what is connected to it. And so what we do is we make one record out of all five of those main streets, and then we display that one record on the map so that Main Street isn't labeled four or five times on the map.
Let me discuss some of the technical aspects of the original, the master address file and Tiger. How many features does that contain? How many addresses? And, you know, was the original database a relational or flat database that you're working with this time around?
Well, I'll start off. The original Tiger database was a relational database. In fact, I believe it was one of the first relational databases out there. Right now, it contains over 22 million polygons, about 73 million edges, and over 159 million nodes. So it's a huge database. It's about 2 terabytes in size. We store information about the boundaries of over 55 different types of geographic areas. There are about 16 million different legal and statistic entities, as well as census collection geographies like local census offices and enumerator assignment areas in the database right now. We also store multiple historic vintages for each of them. And currently the database contains over 23 million road features, over 100 million housing unit locations, and over 9 million other physical features like streams, railroads, and dams.
Is most of the data currently maintained by the census, or is it some of the work in maintaining the quality and assurance outsourced it anyway?
Basically, we have a lot of operations here at the Census Bureau that we run to keep the databases up and current. But we also do have local governments helping us out, and we work with local governments to continually update our databases.
Tell me a little bit about the Tiger database and when it was converted to Oracle Spatial, and maybe over what time period took you to do that complete conversion to Oracle Spatial.
Okay. Planning for the conversion began way back in April 2003. Database prototyping began in November of 2003, and the first prototype was built in the summer of 2005. The first version of the database was built in June 2006, and the data migration from our legacy Tiger system was completed in 2007. So from about start to finish, it took about 5 years. And it should also be noted that many minor modifications are still being made to the MapTiger database.
in terms of the database itself, is your division involved in any spatial analysis or any analysis of any kind, either demographic or cartographic? And is that part of your mission?
Absolutely. In terms of mapping, our CAMP system, and that's referred to as our Census Automated Map Production System. That software performs almost all spatial analysis inside of Oracle Spatial. And we use spatial functions for density assessments and scaling, sheeting, insetting the maps, things of that sort. Then with a given sheet configuration, we use Oracle Spatial to project the data from the database, clip the spatial data to sheet windows, and chain the boundaries. And additionally, we have purely spatial functions. Much of the Census Automated Map Production System utilizes Oracle Topology Data Model. And many of the purely spatial functions, such as dissolving and chaining, can be accomplished by examining topological relationships stored in the database. The MapTiger database is used to delineate tabulation areas and geocode addresses. We use different population and spatial criteria to delineate areas like census blocks and urbanized areas. Area delineations use spatial analysis to create contiguous areas based on things like population totals, clusters of housing units, and economic interaction between areas, among other things.
Yeah, and of course, I think the big thing coming down the pike, and again, you can tell me whether you're going to get involved in any of this, is the actual census count. How is that presented to the individual municipalities and state governments? Are you tasked with taking the count itself, doing any thematic mapping either by census tract or block? Does that enter into the realm of your mission at all?
We in our branch don't participate in actually taking the count. What we do is we take the data from the count and we project it on our public map products, and that's available to the public and whatnot. Everything from poverty rate to demographic data, things of that sort.
Yes. One of the things you asked, I think, was about the about how the count gets distributed to the states and local governments. And the counts, the initial count, one of our first products here in our office, and we're just making maps in our office, is to create the map of congressional district changes. One of the main reason for census is to redistrict for Congress. And we just create a map of by state after we get the numbers for which states will gain congressional seats and which states will lose congressional seats, and that's the first thing we produce out of here.
Right, and then I imagine down the road you're responsible for actually taking the redistrict, the re-evaluated boundaries of each congressional district once the redistricting occurs.
Those are some of the maps we'll produce after of areas that get produced based on census results. There's lots of different areas that get produced based on the census results, and that's one of the main ones. So.
Right, after the politicians have had their chance to go through it, I'm sure. Well, thanks, Nick. Thanks, Stephanie. I appreciate it. Appreciate your time, and Matt as well.
Okay, well, it's been nice talking with you.
Thanks for joining us today on another Directions Media podcast. If you would like to comment about today's interview, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com.
And you can join Nick and Stephanie for their presentation at the Oracle Spatial Users Conference on April 29th, just following the GITA annual conference in Phoenix, Arizona. More details can be found about the program at the GITA website. That's gita.org/GIS.
Thanks for tuning in, and be sure to tell a friend.